I've been looking at a wonderful psalm the last few weeks, and it's a psalm about how to order your prayer in times of trouble. I was reading where somebody was advising some writers for Sunday school quarterlies, and whoever this man was, he says, "Now you just give a little old prayer remedy and go on and so on. Yeah, you need people need more than that." Well, you know, I didn't like that statement. I don't know who said it, but maybe I don't know who said this, but he said, "Prayer is the sovereign remedy." You want to order your prayer in the time of you need to pray in the time of trouble. Prayer is the sovereign remedy. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 142 and 143. Here are two psalms to show us how to order our prayer in times of trouble. Prayer is the sovereign remedy. In Psalm 42, we see David praying in the cave. And Spurgeon said, "Oh, how wonderful it might have been just to be with David praying in the cave." Somebody once said that if David had prayed in the palace the way he prayed in the cave, maybe he wouldn't have gotten into so much trouble. But here we see David praying in the cave, and David is suffering a terrible, terrible time of trouble and difficulty. And we see that this is quite obvious. Let's look at Psalm 142 and 143 as we see how we ought to order our prayer in times of trouble. Let's read these psalms, and then we'll come back and look at them a little more carefully. It says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison." Perhaps David is hiding in this cave. He's trapped in this cave. It's dark. Perhaps this is what he's making reference to, is this cave. "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down into the pit, down into the grave. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good, thy Holy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant." How to order our prayer in the time of trouble. First of all, we see that David is praying with great fervency. David says, I cried, O Lord. When we pray, we need to pray with fervency. Spurgeon said that prayer without fervency is like going hunting with a dead hunting dog. James says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we're going to pray, we need to pray with fervency. Watch through these Psalms. David over and over again is praying with tremendous intensity, a great fervency. Oh, Lord, Lord, I cried. I cried, oh, Lord, hear my supplication. I cried with my voice. David prayed out loud. It often helps us to pray out loud. But I think what we see here is the intensity of his prayer. He prayed with fervency. If you're going to get things from God and get God's blessing on your life, we need to have a life of fervent prayer. So we see that the first thing we need to do in times of trouble is begin that we come to the Lord and we pray with fervency. What else do we see? We see that he prayed fervently unto the Lord. He says, I poured out my complaint. I showed you all my trouble. Listen, we pray to God. We trust in him alone. He's our source. He's our strength. It's all right to find counsel and comfort from friends. But listen, the only true help is going to be the Lord. He said, I cried, I prayed, I cried fervently unto the Lord. With the Lord, I showed him my complaint. I poured out my complaints before him. I poured out my soul. But when we pray, we come to the Lord. Believe that God knows and cares. Listen, God's going to take care of his children. God loves his children. David says, I had a tremendous trouble. I was overwhelmed. My soul within me was desolate. I sat in darkness as one long dead. My heart failed within me. I was at the end of thy rope. I lost hope. I just about had given up. And then he says, but I showed the Lord my complaint. He prayed fervently unto the Lord, but God knows. God knows my path. God's my Father. God does all things well. Job says he counts all my steps. God knows every hair, the number of the hair on your head, the hairs on your head. God's going to take care of his children. God knows. God cares. God cares for his people. We're talking about ordering, how to order our prayer in the time of trouble. Just never, never, never doubt the love of God. God's love is certain. God's love is sure. God's love is not to ever, ever be doubted. Did you ever think about how did Eve get in trouble? How did Adam and Eve get in trouble? Did he not cause discontent in the garden? Watch out. Satan loves to make you unhappy and discontent and begin to doubt the love of God. Never, never, never doubt God's love and care for his children. How to order your prayer in times of trouble. Never, never doubt the love of God. He knoweth, thou knewest my path. Trust God alone. He says, I cried unto thee, O Lord. Thou art my refuge. Thou art my portion. What David means by thou art my portion, Lord, you're my everything. You're my hope. You're my strength. You're my stay. I'm trusting in thee and depending on thee alone. I don't trust in the arm of flesh. I'm trusting in you. So we believe, we trust God alone. God's our portion. Then believe that God will bless. Look at that last verse. Thou knewest, I cried unto thee, O Lord, thou art my refuge and my portion. Thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Listen, God's going to bless his children. God's blessing is everything. We see that David trusts God. He believes God. God, you're going to answer my prayer. I love that prayer, that verse, in the bulletin. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful promise. David said, Lord, I believe that you're going to deal bountifully with me. I'm desolate. My life is crushed down to the ground. I sit in darkness as one long dead. But Lord, I believe you're going to bless. I believe you're going to hear my prayer. You know my path. You know my heartache. You know my trouble. You know my difficulty. Lord, I know you're going to deal bountifully with me. Listen, rest assured, God's going to bless. But it's so important. God's blessing is everything. Amen. Look at Psalm 143. I believe that this is a penitential psalm. Some don't believe that, but I believe this is David's. I think it's very important to know how to order your prayer in the time of trouble, especially when you think that a great part of your trouble is because of your sin and failure. Well, I believe David sees that a part of his problem is his sin and failure. Look what he says. He says, Lord, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. David, I believe, realized that a part of his trouble, his heartache, and his misery was his sin, his failure to walk uprightly and to live a godly, holy life. He had sinned somewhere. Turn over to Psalm 51, perhaps the greatest of the penitential psalms. When we order our prayer in times of trouble, first of all, we need to recognize that perhaps a part of our trouble, perhaps the cause of our memory and of our misery and our heartache and our difficulty is because we've sinned. Somewhere we fail the Lord. But look at David. Psalm 51, here's a great penitential psalm. Here's a great lesson. When we're ordering our prayer in the time of trouble, recognize the nature of our sin. Recognize that sin is the cause of our failure. But don't let their sin depress you and discourage you and get you defeated. I think a lot of our misery and trouble and heartache is because we're burdened for our sin. Our sin troubles us. Well, we ought to be troubled by it, but let's bring it to God. Confess it, put it under the blood, and forget it. But look what David does. In Psalm 51, come down to verse 8. Psalm 51, verse 8. David now, the background, of course, to this psalm is David's murder of Uriah. He had committed adultery with Uriah's wife. And here David now has committed adultery and has murdered her husband to cover up her sin. What horrifying, what sin, what greater sin could there be? And as Spurgeon says, David makes a preposterous request. How could anybody make a request anywhere but before the throne of God? Look at this request that David's made. He's guilty of premeditated murder. He's guilty of the vile sin of adultery. And then the premeditated murder to cover up that sin by the murder of her husband. And look at this request that he makes before God, before the throne of God. Come down to verse 8. Psalm 51, verse 8. It says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit. What a ridiculous, what a preposterous request anywhere but before the throne of a loving, merciful God. Amen. Even though I've committed premeditated murder, though I've committed the terrible, vile sin of adultery, Lord, David says, look, I was born in sin. All this old flesh does is sin. I shouldn't be shocked at this old flesh. That's what the sin does. David says, look, help me to see my sin and put my sin behind me and forget about my sin and put it under the blood. You've washed it away into the sea of your forgetfulness. Wash it away into the sea of my forgetfulness. Help me to forget my sin. It's under the blood. It's forgiven. Now restore unto me the peace and the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with a free spirit. Is that not a preposterous request? Anywhere but before the throne of God. Sometimes we say, well, look, I'm such a spiritual giant. I've grown so much in God. I read my Bible every day and pray and try to serve God down at the church. Look at this. How can I ever sin? What a terrible person. No, that's what the flesh does. The flesh is sinful. Recognize that flesh and recognize it for what it is. Confess your sin, put it under the blood, forget about it. God has forgotten about it. And you need to forget about it. Don't let that sin burden you and distress you and depress you. Now, I think this is what a part of David's problem was. Well, he recognized that a part of his trouble was his sin. Learn how to get forgiveness of sin. Learn how to get the joy of the Lord restored. He restoreth my soul. How else do we order our prayer in the time of trouble? See, our sin is often at the source of our trouble. Remember God's past blessings. I remember the days of old. I muse on the work of thy hands. Remember God's blessing in the past. God's done wonderful things for us if we think about it. Muse on his hand. What's he done for us? He's done wonderful things. He's forgiven us of all of our sins. He's restored our souls. He's healed us. He's given us joy, the deep joy of the Holy Ghost. The Lord's done many, many wonderful things for us. David often uses the phrase of God's loving kindness. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Because God loves us, he does many, many wonderful things for us. Our prayer ought to be every day, oh Lord, oh, remember the prayer of the Old Testament saint. Lord, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. Pray that your hand would be with me and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Nothing wrong with praying for God's blessing. God's blessing is everything. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. We're talking about ordering our prayer in the times of trouble. Lord, just bless me. Lord, do good things for me. Lord, encourage me. Show me a token of your goodness. Do something wonderful for me. Sometimes we just have not because we ask not. Remember God's past blessings. Seek God with all your heart. David said, I lift up my soul unto thee. I stretch out my hands unto thee. Lord, I'm so thirsty for you, like a dry, thirsty, parched land. God says, you'll find me when you search with me with all your heart. Make your mind up, because God is maybe bringing trouble into your life to get you into the place spiritually that you need to be. Maybe you've gotten cold and backslidden. And dead spiritually and careless about spiritual things. Maybe God's brought trouble into your life to give you a wake-up call and make you to realize, look, it's time to get down to business with God. Maybe some of us just need to stop what we're doing, make our mind up, we're going to get right with God and get in the place that God wants us to be. Meditate in the Scriptures faithfully. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. That's a strange way of saying it, isn't it? He didn't say, Lord, make me feel it. Lord, make me hear it. I think it's an appeal to the mind. I think perhaps this is suggesting, look, I need to meditate in the Word of God every day. I need to hear the Word of God. I need to hear the Scriptures. I need to meditate in the Scriptures. And meditation, you meditate in the Scriptures. You don't read the Scriptures. You don't read the Bible the way you read the sports page. You read the Bible the way you read a love letter. I remember some of those guys in the dorms, they'd get those letters from their girlfriends, and they'd read that thing half the night. They'd read it and reread it and read it over again, and they'd look at every word and study every word. And, the Bible is God's love letter to us. We need to meditate in the Scriptures. There's something about meditating in the Word of God that will do something for you. The idea of Charles Bridges, the old 19th century preacher, he says that all the graces of the Holy Spirit are manifested when we meditate in the Word of God. we ought to meditate in the Scriptures. I think that's perhaps what David is suggesting here. When I get up in the morning, Lord, I want to read about your love and your loving kindness, all the wonderful, kind, good things you do for your children. Let me anchor my soul in your love. Let me anchor my soul in the Word of God, in the things of God, the eternal things. Let me anchor my soul in your love. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning. And then David brings out his most powerful, compelling argument. Because I trust in you. There's no more way to move the hand of God, move the heart of God, than say, look, Lord, I trust you. Lord, answer me in your faithfulness. God, you're faithful, you're true, you're dependable. You're an unchangeable God. Nothing greater to pray for than to pray with the unchangeable promises by an unchangeable God. Amen. Those promises are unchangeable. And I think that's what David is talking about here. Meditate, when you appeal to God, when you trust God, nothing honors God more than your capacity to believe Him, to believe and trust Him. God, I had a student one time ask me, he said, well, we were at McDonald's. And he asked me, he says, what is the thing that I could do most to please God? And I thought, well, that's a very interesting question. I don't know that I've ever been asked that question before. And I believe the Lord gave me this answer. I said, just to trust Him. There's nothing that pleases God and honors God more than just trusting Him. David says, answer me in your faithfulness. Lord, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning because I trust in thee. You want to move the heart of God and the hand of God, just tell God how you trust Him. You believe Him. I'm going to rest on you and rely on you. Martin Luther said that the art of art is the capacity to trust in God. Another old preacher in the past says that the greatest and the sweetest of all sacrifices is this capacity to believe God and trust God. Well, we see David making his most powerful argument. Lord, for in thee do I trust. Then we see what else? We see David is making God's will his priority. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, in verse 8. Teach me to do your will. The Holy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. If there's anything that ought to drive your life and be the organizing and guiding and directing principle of your life is to make sure that you're in the perfect will of God. There ought to be no greater motive in your life than to always be in the perfect will of God. Pray every day, Lord, make me tender. Make me sensitive to the leading and the wooing and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that I might stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. When you order your prayer in time of trouble, make sure that you've made your mind up, you're going to be in the perfect will of God. God's will is going to be the organizing and guiding and directing principle of your life. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, he said that every great man that he ever knew came under a principle that dominated his life. Now, I'm certainly not a great man. But if there's ever been a principle that's dominated my life, it's the desire to stand in God's perfect and complete will. God's will settles everything. Maybe you're having trouble and difficulty because you're running ahead of God. You're not seeking the will of God for your life. There ought to be nothing that motivates you more than this desire, this passion to be in the center of God's will. We see David praying that, Lord, cause me to know the way when I should go. Oh, thy Holy Spirit is good. Lead me and guide me and direct me in a plain path. When we order our prayers in times of trouble, we need to make the will of God the priority of our life. Then above all, cry every day for Holy Spirit fullness and Holy Spirit power. When David says, quicken me, I believe he's crying for Holy Spirit fullness, Holy Spirit power. David's saying, in effect, Lord, I'm so dead, I'm so cold, I'm so lifeless, I have no spiritual vigor, I have no spiritual energy. Father, quicken me, bring me alive by the power of thy Holy Spirit. That ought to be a prayer that dominates your life. That ought to be your first prayer in the morning. A great prayer, Lord, is give me that spirit of unceasing fervent prayer that sustains an unbroken reliance upon the power of the Holy Spirit for power, for love, for fruitfulness. Pray without ceasing. We need to be in a constant spirit of prayer for Holy Spirit fullness and Holy Spirit power. I've read some literature here recently. And these are good people. It's a good organization. In fact, I've read two different organizations. And they're talking about how to break the power of addiction and so on. And what strikes me is how they, in one pamphlet, they didn't even mention the Holy Spirit. And then another pamphlet, they kind of put the Holy Spirit sort of at the end of the process, made a very few remarks about the Spirit. But listen, the Holy Spirit is the most important element in breaking the power of sin and breaking the power of addiction and having power to win the lost and win souls and serve God and live above our sin. We need to cry every day for Holy Spirit fullness and power. That's what David means when he says, quicken me. Quicken me by the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So above all, cry fervently. Cry constantly for Holy Spirit power, Holy Spirit fullness. Turn over to Psalm 42 and 43. Here's two more psalms that helps us to order our prayer in the time of trouble. Psalm 42 and 43, two short psalms. Here's a good summary of how to order our prayer in the time of trouble. I won't read all of Psalm 42 when you get some time, read through this. But if you look at Psalm 42, it's very, very much like Psalm 142 and Psalm 43. We see David is under great distress and great trouble. His enemies have caused him tremendous stress and tremendous trouble. But look at the end of Psalm 42. Look at that last verse. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" David's saying, "Why am I so blue? Why am I so depressed? Why am I so discouraged? I sit as a man in darkness who's long dead. My soul is crushed to the ground. My soul is faint within me. Lord, my soul is desolate. I'm broken. I've come to the end of my rope," is what he's praying. And look what he says. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance." But David is saying, look what you've got. You know, faith, Martin Lloyd-Jones, the commentator, says that faith is an activity. When Satan is causing me trouble and difficulty, look, I said, I got to start preaching to myself. Look, I'm a child of God. My sins are under the blood. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got a great salvation. I've got a God who promises to meet every need. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. My God is unchangeable. His wonderful, wonderful promises are unchangeable. And so David's starting to preach to himself. Faith is an activity. Sometimes we just got to start talking to ourselves and preaching to ourselves. Now, why are you blue? Why are you so depressed and so discouraged and so defeated? Look, your sins are under the blood. You're on your way to heaven. You have a wonderful Savior. You have a great salvation. You have a wonderful Holy Spirit that's promised to give us peace and joy and love and gentleness and goodness, self-control, faithfulness. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift, is he not? Do you know that deep joy of the Holy Ghost? You see what David's beginning to, he's in trouble. Now he's beginning to exercise faith. He's beginning to talk to himself and preach to himself. Now look at the verse, look at Psalm 43. "Judge me, O God, plead my cause against an ungodly nation. No, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." He's got his enemies have got him so discouraged and so defeated, so desolate. "For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy." He's beginning to preach to himself. Faith is an activity. "Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." finally turn to, I think, the most comforting passage in all the Word of God. I don't know of any passage that does more for me in the time of trouble than the 23rd Psalm. It's been called the pearl of the Psalms, but I know of no passage in all the Word of God that will do more for you in the time of trouble than the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, if that verse, if the psalm just stopped right there, that'd be enough, wouldn't it? The Lord's my shepherd. I'm not going to want. He's promised to meet every need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Aren't you thankful for the guidance and the direction of God that God promises to show His perfect will? One of the greatest blessings of the Christian life is to know we have a shepherd, a God, that's going to guide us and direct us and lead us in a plain path about the decisions of life. What a great salvation, amen. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And maybe verse 6, maybe this is maybe the greatest promise in all the Word of God. Have you got about 4 or 5, 6 great promises that you've been able to build your life around? You ought to have about 5 or 6 promises that you can just build your life around those promises. Spurgeon once said, there's no greater privilege to pray to an immutable God with His immutable promises. Look at this promise. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise. Our Father God, we're thankful for your wonderful word and how we rejoice, Father God, as one that findeth great spoil. As David says, Father, oh, how we love your law. Help us, Father, to love it and to meditate in it all the day long. And take these precious truths, write these things on our heart. And Father God, give us that wonderful, wonderful promise of Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing, that we might abound in hope through the power of thy blessed Holy Spirit. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.com. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.